I'm not singing.
I know you think this show is just for little kids and not for guys like us.
No, don't point at me. I'm not singing.
Sit down, tune in. We're gonna watch the whole damn thing, so don't you make a fuss. That's great enough of this.
Stop singing.
Kyle's just too full of hate. You're listening to the Why Carly podcast.
Nope.
Now on MP3.
No.
You'll fall in love with this show so fast. Just you wait and see.
I'm out of here.
Come back, man. We gotta finish recording the theme song.
No.
Come on, man. You promised.
I'm not doing this.
Don't be a jerk.
This is Why Carly with Josh Alperez and Kyle Hutchinson.
Wake up, members of Why Nation. This is Josh again with another episode of the Why Carly podcast. As always, there he is, clearing his throat into his microphone, my co-host Kyle Hutchinson.
Hello.
We're doing something a little different today. Kyle, why don't you tell our good friends and listeners what is happening?
Okay, well, I'm in Sault Ste. Marie working on a movie. Josh and I didn't put enough episodes in the can. Is that the term?
Yeah, in the can, sure.
In the can before I left. We thought we had enough, but my work kept me from being able to record. So now I'm in Sault Ste. Marie, and we have to Skype this episode together, I guess.
So if it's
like, this is the way that me and Josh are doing this. I don't know how he's actually recording
it sounds weird, it's because Kyle is in Sault Ste. Marie and Josh is in Toronto, and we're talking over Skype. So, you know, if at any point it cuts out or it sounds like it's unclear, we'll go suck a lemon, all right? Because we're doing our best. But anyway, so today we're going to be discussing season 2, episode 10, I Kiss Kyle. Now, this is an episode that I have alluded to for a while, like almost pretty much from the beginning of when we started doing the show. I've talked about, oh, we're going to do I Kiss soon. We're going to do I Kiss. And
what's funny, though, is that I'm almost certain you made me watch this episode before.
It's possible, Kyle. This is
because
one of my favorites.
When I was watching it, I was like, I feel like I already know what's going to happen in this. Like unless I had like some sort of weird
premonition,
like deja vu, I knew everything that was going to happen except for the Spencer stuff.
Well,
because I remembered everything that was going to happen.
You know, deja vu, Kyle, is just, you know, a glitch in the Matrix. So.
I know. I saw two cats.
But this episode, it is very likely that we may have watched it before, because before we started this show where I'm trying to get you to love iCarly, I tried to get you to love iCarly for like a year. And I would always like...
Tried to keep forcing me to watch episodes.
Yeah, I'd always throw episodes on. At one point, I went into your house when you weren't there and had it playing so that when you arrived home from work, you would open up the door and be like, why is iCarly playing on my TV?
That was on my Netflix account.
That is a thing that happened, Kyle. Like, I left. I was not there when you arrived, but when you arrived, the TV was on playing iCarly. So let that sink in, people, if you doubted how crazy I was. But yeah, so this is an episode that I love, Kyle. And I think that while we were discussing it, like when we watched I Hate Sam's Boyfriend and when we watched I Will Date Freddy, I kept saying, we're going to get to I Kiss. And I think you thought that the I Kiss referred to Carly and Freddy, yeah? Or were you hoping it was going to be a Carly and Sam?
Carly and Sam. Definitely Carly and Sam.
But you thought it was...
No, actually, I thought it was going to be Spencer and Freddy.
What?
No.
You...
Because we all know that Freddy actually has a secret crush on Spencer.
Well, if you've listened to our past episodes, you've probably heard all the tons and tons of evidence that we've discovered that could hint to that very, very outcome, I guess. But this is an episode that, like I said, it's kind of a turning point episode, Kyle.
In what manner?
In that everything that happens from this point on is different. I mean, can you kiss someone, Kyle, and have things be the same as it was before you kissed them? Has that ever happened?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, so then this is a turning point episode, see? But Yeah, just like kind of, why don't you give me a synopsis of what happens and then we'll go in depth.
Okay, so according to Show Me, because I had to, we had to watch it on Show Me because they removed iCarly from Netflix.
Yeah. So,
by Canadian Netflix.
So if you are joining us from the VTAN podcast and you heard the first half of this, you've heard our little discussion. But if you don't know what VTAN is and you're just a listener to iCarly, we should say that there's another podcast that Kyle and I do. And we did a long, about like a 50-minute ramp up to talk about this on last VTAN. So you can go to verbtheadjectivenoun.com, check that out. But we did mention in that recording that iCarly is no longer on Netflix. It is on Show Me in Canada, which is a streaming service we have here, and that's what we're using to watch it now.
It's like the Canadian version of like Hulu.
Yeah, exactly, because we're not cool enough to get Hulu. So what does Show Me say about this episode?
Okay, so Show Me says, Sam overhears Freddie confess to Carly that he's never kissed a girl, then exposes his secret on the web show. Gibby and Carly train Spencer for a tryout with a pro football team.
Hilarity ensues, I guess.
Yeah.
I bet, right? So
that's what happened.
Yeah, so you guys, listen, you can pause now and go and watch the episode, and you can come back and hear us talk about it. So, yeah, we'll be right back.
He kissed me under a kumquat tree, and his lips tasted like potato salad.
Was it good?
Just an average little kiss.
No, the potato salad.
Oh, yeah, really good.
Nice. My first kiss was with Buddy Hinton at a Cuttlefish concert. In a porta potty.
Mmm, so romantic.
Whatever. All I know is now I can't stop thinking about potato salad.
And we're back! And we're back. All right, so Kyle, this episode, amazing, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, it had its moments. I felt like the second half of it was kind of like a downer episode.
What? Though.
Yeah, because poor Freddy. It was poor Freddy.
What
wasn't
do you mean, poor Freddy?
What's that?
What do you mean, poor Freddy?
Well, everybody was teasing him.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're talking about
his guilt trip.
Yeah, you're talking about like the second half, not about like the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but the half is the end of the episode.
He did eat a lot of shit in this episode. Like,
yeah.
It starts off with, okay, so it starts off with Sam, no, Freddy running into Carly's house because he's being chased by Sam.
Yeah.
Because he pranked Sam
by handcuffing her to Gibby.
And this is the first time you've seen him, yeah?
This is the first time I see Gibby, yeah. Oh, wait, but before we get into the episode, though.
Okay.
Like, I know they kind of touch on it in the episode, but I found it funny that, like, because when I read the synopsis, it says, like, he confesses that to Carly that he's never kissed a girl. But he had that girlfriend, Val.
Right, Kyle. I'm glad you brought that up.
And I know that they mention it in the episode. Like, they're like, well, what about that girl named Val? Like, I thought you guys kissed. He's like, well, it's only for like a split second.
No, he doesn't kiss her.
In front of a bunch of people, it didn't count. And I'm like, but that counts.
He doesn't kiss her. Go back and watch it, Kyle. Because look, listen. I have been almost kissed a very, very high number of times, Kyle. So I can tell you what delineates an actual kiss from not. And if you watch that episode, so first off, if you watch the Jonah episode again with Sam and her boyfriend Jonah, they don't kiss at
all. Guy that we hated.
Yeah, the guy who was the worst and got wedgied. They don't kiss at all. They hug a bunch of times very awkwardly. But in the Valerie episode, the I Will Date Freddy, what happens is they are in the hallway. He agrees to some bullshit that she's manipulating him to.
Yeah.
And then she comes up right to him. And look, I'm looking right at you on Skype, Kyle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the listeners probably can't see my they definitely can't see my gestures. But she comes and if these are her lips right here. She goes, that doesn't count, Kyle.
It's like on the corner of the mouth.
Right on the corner of the mouth. And I gotta tell you, Kyle, nothing in the world feels worse. I know there's like hunger and disease and like brain tumors and stuff. But like in the terms of like first world problems, nothing hurts worse, Kyle. Especially Freddy. Freddy eats so much shit all the time from everyone. But yeah, so if you go back and you watch, it doesn't count. It's okay. I mean, we can do an instant replay John Madden style, but you'll have to take my word for it.
I want like the teleprompter thing, or not the teleprompter, the thing that you can write on.
Yeah.
Get and you have the lines that go like draw arrows and exactly. Circles.
Kyle, you don't need to explain my jokes every time.
That's what I want.
So the episode opens off.
But it starts off with Carly, though, watching some sort of talking foot show.
Foot fetish videos.
That's what I wrote. I was like, there's a foot fetish on this show. Like, because they always are showing feet on this show.
Well, last time they did a toe family where they drew little faces on all their toes. And
there was a toe earthquake or something.
There's a toe earthquake, yeah. And that was clearly for all the foot fetishists out there. But
there must be. Like, maybe Dan Schneider has a foot fetish.
Well, that's so just a wild accusation that you're throwing around for no reason now, Kyle.
But maybe that's why he throws it into his show. He wants to see it because he watches his own shit. And he's just like, yeah, give me the feet.
Oh, wow. Anyway, so she's watching a weird foot video, and she thinks it's the funniest thing she's ever seen, which kind of explains why their show is so crappy. We've talked about it before, how terrible their show is.
Yeah.
That's her sense of humor. That is an explanation. But can we talk about her t-shirt for a second, Kyle? Do you happen to remember what her t-shirt
is? The Cookie Mischief one?
Cookie Goddamn Mischief.
What does that mean?
It means that's a shirt that I want to own, Kyle.
Is that, like, does Cookie mean her vagina?
Oh, my God. Where the hell did that come from? Kyle, as someone who analyzes the ass off of this show, it not once occurred to me that Cookie meant vagina. But now I can't think of anything else. Right now I'm rubbing my eyes in frustration, and all I see is Miranda Cosgrove's vulva. And I'm horrified. It's a good thing
you put that image in your own head, mister.
It's a good thing that we have the explicit tag on iTunes, right? This is not a kid's show. But Cookie Mischief. So I've probably said it before. Mischief is my favorite word in the English language. And I love eating cookies. Cookie Mischief. It's just, it conjures up this image. Well, it used to, at least. It conjures up this image of trying to steal from a cookie jar. And, like, you and your little friend, and you're, like, 2 years old, and you're giving each other boosts, like the Rugrats, to kind of get on the kitchen counter. That's Cookie Mischief. That's what I see in my head before you implanted that disgusting image. Well, not disgusting. It's a natural human body. Oh, my God. Okay, we got to stop backpedaling because this is crazy. Okay. Yeah. So, Cookie Mischief. Yeah, that was a pretty good shirt. I definitely, if I could find that shirt, I would wear it every day.
Yeah. So she's wearing that, and then, yeah, Freddie comes running in, and he significantly does look taller. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't take a look at his shoes, so I wasn't sure if it was actual growth, or if he's still just wearing the platforms, and he has been getting taller, like, both at the same, like, it's a combination of the two. And his voice isn't as cracky, so...
Nope.
Puberty has clearly hit this young star.
Just wait till he's all fully grown, Kyle. He's got, I'm telling you.
Muscular and hunky in your eyes.
Build like a bodybuilder, man. What? Look, follow him on Twitter. He's got a man's beard now and abs like a Superman. It's crazy.
But yeah, so, and then shortly thereafter, Sam literally tears the door open.
No lock and holder. I've said it before.
Nope, none. And she comes running in with Gibby, my first introduction to Gibby.
So,
and I think, you know what? I kind of like Gibby. Gibby seems to be my new favorite character, I think. I think he's the only reason why I can handle watching this show now.
Galen, who has been on the show before as a guest, made the amazing connection that Gibby is the Frasier of iCarly. Because he's kind of like...
Yeah. Spinoff, it would be good.
Well, because there was a plan to have a spinoff that never came to fruition. It went to pilot, but it didn't get picked up. But also, he's kind of like a tertiary character who kind of just joins the main group eventually. Like, because towards the end, Gibby is like main cast, right?
Right.
But more than anything, they both live in Seattle. But more than anything, they both love taking off their shirts. Like, Gibby always takes off his shirt. Man, it's so funny.
Yeah, because Because I make reference to his shirt taking off abilities in both episodes.
Yeah, he's great. But the best part about Gibby is that Sam is so upset about being chained to him. She calls him a loser. And Gibby goes, "My mom says I'm awesome."
Yeah, and I wrote that. That's my favorite line in this episode. Because like I wrote it as, finally, I get to meet Gibby, and my mom thinks I'm awesome is the best.
It's so good.
My mom thinks I'm awesome.
I know. It's like Milhouse. My mom says I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know, great.
I use that line all the time when people are like, like they're making fun of me. Like,
It's a great line. So after that, so when they're chained up, Freddy is tackled to the ground.
Yeah.
And he's got the key in his front pocket.
Yeah.
And he tells Carly to reach in and grab it. He's got something in his front pocket.
She almost does.
Yeah, she's going to cop a feel on the guy.
Yeah.
But it ends up not happening. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Can't catch a break.
That Freddy, I know. I think he purposely kind of set it up that way.
I don't want to put it past him.
Like, he probably was sitting at home, and he's like, "I've got a plan. I'm going to get it so that Carly touches or, like, grazes my dong."
Oh, my. You think it's like a Joker Dark Knight plan? Like,
it was all set up. It was set up. I'll handcuff Sam. And then I know she's going to beat me up, and she's going to be like, "You got to handcuff me." But she'll have me, like, pinned up against the wall. I won't be able to use my hands. And so Carly will have to go into my pocket. That's what it was all planned out.
That is some diabolical.
Have you met his mom?
Yeah, that is some diabolical planning, Kyle. I never even thought of that. You are crazier than I am. But yeah, so he's got something in his front pocket reminding me of South Park with Butters.
What?
You don't remember Butters when he was a tap dancer?
And he kicks his shoe and he kills everybody?
Yeah, but the song that he dances to is called "I Got Something in My Front Pocket for You." Why don't
That's you right,
yeah. And then see what it is. then it's revealed that Spencer is going to try out for the Seattle Cobras. Now, can I tell you how much I hate when they do this on TV and movies? When
they make a fake team?
Yeah, fake sports team. The team in Seattle is the Seahawks. So
You would think that they'd be allowed to say the Seattle Seahawks, because it's not like we ever see them.
No, and I mean, the Seahawks could only benefit from that kind of publicity. Why wouldn't they want it, you know?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why would they not be allowed to use them? Like,
probably just want to avoid, like, preemptive avoiding a problem, so just make it not even an issue. But Cobras is such a dumb team name. It should have been the Joes.
The Seattle G.I. Joes?
The average Joes.
Now they're playing dodgeball?
Yeah. Speaking of, Kyle. So, yes. Okay, you know, our mutual friend... Did you ever meet him? I don't know if you did.
Our mutual friend who I've never met?
Friend of mine. I don't know if you even know him. Andrew Nickerson.
I've not met him. I don't even know that name.
Are you serious?
Why would I know that name?
Because he used to work at Blockbuster.
Andrew Nickerson.
He was the store manager of the Queen Street location. And the thing is...
My time.
Okay, well, I knew him because that was actually going to be my job, but then he applied for it because I was assistant manager at two different stores, and they were going to give me that store, but then he applied for the job, and he had, like, years and years of experience. He had more experience than I had life years, right, because he was, like, a real man, and I was a boy, right? Anyways, he's a great guy. He's a funny guy. He is now part of the Toronto Gay Men's... dodgeball league. They've got a bunch of teams. They play every week. They play dodgeball. It's a league. Organized. There's a championship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to arrange it, Kyle, so that we are the play-by-play and color commentary announcers.
Okay.
So that we will do commentary. You could do play-by-play. I'll do color, or vice versa. We'll call the games. But we'll also record our commentary of the games, and we can release that as a podcast.
I would do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it set up, and I'm just trying to give them no reason to say no. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to be cool. So look for that in the future as we call games for the Toronto Gay Men's Dodgeball League.
Okay. Sounds good.
Do you really not know Nick? You know Nickerson. Come on, man. You must
have. I would know him.
Do you remember?
When would you met him?
This is probably going to get cut out. But do you remember when we went rental ready, or were you not there?
Rental ready? What are you talking about? You
remember how we used to have the cover box and then the movie behind it?
Yeah.
And then we went rental ready where it was the movies were inside the cover boxes?
Yeah.
Were you there when we transitioned?
No.
Okay. So then you... Because there was like a week where all we had to do was pull everything off, open them all, put the new covers in, close them. It was a huge undertaking. We had like 15 people in there doing it, and he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew him before then because I knew him from being around. Anyways, this is quite a detour. Yes. So what is your next note?
Okay, so this is when I start realizing that I'm like, I'm pretty sure I saw this episode. Like, so I'm like, part of me feels like, I think it was the football in the groin.
Mm.
I think was what reminded me of it.
Yeah,
because I was like, I could have sworn I've seen Spencer, like,
get hit with
go through this, and I thought it was so stupid. I was like, well, why would he have caught it like that? And I remember thinking to myself, I've thought this before. Because I'm like, why wouldn't he have used his hands? Even if it was thrown low, what was he doing with his hands to not catch it?
Yeah, he just grabs it in his crotch.
But
I guess we should explain. Spencer wants to try out for a professional football team, kind of like that movie Invincible. I think that's what this is the takeoff of. And then, surprise, surprise, a couple of years later, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia recycled this exact same plotline. So if you say you're a fan of It's Sunny and not iCarly, then you are a big fat hypocrite.
I guess I'm a hypocrite.
I'm just trying to get any kind of way to make people watch this show, Kyle. Nobody wants to watch that, Kyle.
Yes, so then it's like they're up in the studio afterwards, the three younger actors.
Well, and they watch a movie. They go watch a movie called The First Kiss.
Right.
And then it gets them talking about first kisses.
Right.
And Carly tells a story of her first kiss. Do you remember who her first kiss was?
Can't remember the name that she used, but it was under like a weird tree.
A jizzquat tree.
Yeah, a kumquat tree.
That's what it was. Wow, I typed that in wrong.
Kumquat tree. But it was like the whole scenario. I was like, this sounds made up. Like, that doesn't sound like any of that could be possibly real.
Why not? His name was Ben Hoopshire.
Do they build? Do they grow kumquat trees in Seattle?
You know what? I'll have to bing it because.
Or was it in like one of the other episodes that we didn't watch?
No, did they show it? It doesn't. They don't show that ever. But she does.
Is it in that I go to Japan whatever? Maybe that's where kumquats come from. I don't know where a kumquat comes from.
She does kiss the dude in the I saw him first episode. So that's. Did she though? Yeah, she does in the hospital, remember? And presumably that was not her first.
What, when he was dead?
Well, when he was unconscious. He didn't give his
consent. That doesn't count. That's like while you were sleeping with Sandra Bullock. That doesn't count.
That is a great pull, Kyle. Good job. Hey, you know who else is in that movie? Bill Paxton.
If you had listened to the VTAM, that joke
would know why that's an amazing joke. So you got to go back and listen to the verb, the adjective noun.com. anyways, Ben Hoopshire is the name of one of the writers / directors / producers on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of creepy to, because the thing is they use a lot of the guys' names for all kinds of stuff. Like, whenever there's stuff on TV, commercials and stuff on the show, they'll always use, or like teachers and stuff, they'll always use names of people on the production crew.
Mm-hmm.
But to give the guy who kisses Carly your name is kind of weird, I think. That's like a...
Is that why Freddie goes, nobody has a name like that?
Yes, exactly. That's an inside joke on the production team.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense.
But yeah, kumquat tree. I wrote that down too. Isn't that weird? What a stupid... It's just like, there's this old rule in comedy that the K sound is funny. I never understood that. You know, like,
maybe he just wanted to say come on a kid's show.
It's entirely possible, because I laughed my jizz off.
But I did. So she mentions, she mentions something about potato salad.
Yeah, the kiss tasted like potato salad.
That's what it was. And then Sam's just like, well, how was it? And she goes, it was nice. And she goes, was it the kiss? And she goes, no, the potato salad.
Because Sam only cares about food.
Sam only cares about food. She only cares. But then Sam reveals that she made out with somebody in a porta potty.
Well, she says that she does, which is...
Yeah, I know. But then I was like, I'm not surprised by that. She's kind of gutter trash.
How dare you?
I could see her just being like, oh, yeah, the porta potty, that's hot. Let's make out in there.
How dare you? You son of a bitch. All right, we've talked about this before. You've come dangerously close to stirring my ire when it comes to Sam Puckett. She's my favorite character on the show. She's just the best. But more than that... Oh, what's this? Oh, someone is periscoping.
About?
It's a person called Ravenclaw Reefer. Two things that I appreciate. And they are going to do some... I guess they're just... Because, you know, it's called Periscope. Again, if you listen to the first half of this cliffhanger. Oh, Ravenclaw Weaver is doing some tie-dyes. Teaching you how to do tie-dye. I'm not going to watch that now. you've come close to getting me pissed off by saying some nasty stuff about Sam Puckett. And then in a couple of episodes before then, a couple of episodes ago, I should say, you told the world that I have a crush on Jeanette McCurdy. Now, I should clarify that as we are watching the show, that is like 2007 Jeanette McCurdy, right? 2005, 2006 Jeanette McCurdy. I happen to have, I guess you could call it a fondness, for 2015 Jeanette McCurdy.
Yeah, you like her Vine videos.
Yeah,
and
her Vines are hilarious, and she's an interesting person that I'm in love with. But you have to carefully delineate the fact that when you watch the show, that is not the same person. We go Ship of Theseus style here, all right? Different individual, Kyle. So you can't say things like, there's Josh lusting after a priest.
I can say whatever I want.
You son of a bitch.
You're not the boss of me.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, let's continue. So you said she was a dirty old whore for kissing a guy in a porta potty.
Yeah. And then she leaves because she's like, now I'm hungry.
She wants potato salad.
Yeah, she takes off. And so then Carly's like, okay, Freddie, tell me about your first kiss. And he's like, no, I'm not doing it. No. And she's like, come on, you have to. He's like, no. And she's like, just do it. And so then he's like, well, you can't tell anybody, but I haven't kissed anybody yet.
Now,
before.
At that same moment, Sam realizes that in order to buy potato salad, she needs money.
That she doesn't have.
He has none. So she goes back to ask for money and hears
and
them.
She overhears.
She overhears them.
Yeah. And this is also at the same point where Carly's like, yeah, but what about Val? You kissed Val, and he's like, no,
which is great continuity,
really...
great callback. It,
yeah, I mean, a lot of shows would just not even bother.
Yeah,
with that.
Exactly.
Like, eh, whatever.
They asked about Val.
But then after all that, like, so it's like revealed that Sam heard this, and now she's got her ammunition for getting back at Freddy for handcuffing her to Gibby. But anyways, so that's where a commercial would have been.
Yeah.
And so they come back, it's the iCarly show, and like it's them doing their show, and they're showing you a fake video. And I thought it was
is
pretty funny.
The amazing.
The fake movie is actually really, really
it
good.
It is spot on satire. This is genius level writing. So yeah. Tell us about this video that they play.
Yeah, so what's the name? What's the
Kelly
name of the
Cooper?
Character?
Terrible Movie is the name of it.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
Their video is a trailer for a fake movie.
Yeah.
And the movie is called Kelly Cooper, Terrible Movie.
Yeah. And so it's just like, it's like any typical, like, high, it's like Mean Girls, but like made fun of.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I want to hang out with you. And they're like, they're like, no, you're not allowed. She's like, aw.
But what's great about it is that the logic of the episode works so great. You could learn how to write a sitcom from watching the show. I've said it many times. But they go watch a shitty movie. They come back, and now it's their time to create their web show. And what would they do? Like, you take from life, you know? So they saw the movie, and they make fun of that type of movie by making a fake trailer. And the trailer is loaded with all the tropes of these terrible rom-coms. Like, yeah. The way that she does a montage, and she's going to try on a ton of outfits, you know?
Yeah.
And the way she falls down all the time, like, Hollywood.
It's very Sandra Bullock.
It's
Sandra Bullock,
very Sandra Bullock.
This congeniality, like, fell over, like, all the
time.
But
not only that, like, Hollywood infantilizes women all the time. Like, women are always tripping over their own feet. Like, I remember I watched this movie. It was called Evolution. Harold Ramis made this movie. Or was it Ivan Reitman? I think it was Ivan Reitman.
It's the alien version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah. But what's her face? Oh, my God.
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore is like this Nobel Prize winning scientist or whatever. And when she meets David Duchovny, the first thing that happens is she trips over her feet and like she's going to shake his hand and instead her hand goes right into his dick. And it's like this meet cute, like, oh, she's adorable. Even though she's like smart and has a PhD, she's goofy and clumsy. She's sweet. And it's like, come on, man. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And so they take, like, I've always said iCarly is a very pro-feminist show. I think the satire of this Kelly Cooper terrible movie is just so sharp, and it's a perfect example of why the show transcends the medium, Kyle, and why I feel like I always have to defend myself. I'm not joking when I say this show is on my top five favorites of all time, and there's just one example of why it's great. But yeah, what else, Kyle?
No, I did. I enjoyed the little fake movie because I was like, I would love to see an actual movie that was spoofing like that. Like, because there's some crappy spoofy movies, but this seems like one that, like, even if it was like a half an hour long, like an episode that was like that. It's just the Kelly Cooper episode. It's like a bonus episode. I would watch that, and I would probably find that pretty funny.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, and then like I love like the record scratches because it just reminds. Also, of like South Park, where it's like Stan Marsh has to do this.
Yeah, all right. That's what I'm saying. Like the way that they do it is as well. I mean, I don't want to say it's as good, but it's in the same vein as the way that South Park satirizes stuff. It was very impressive for a kid's show. It's way good.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I have Spencer does all kinds of weird training.
Yeah,
has Carly in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, which I thought was a little strange.
But then what happens, Scott?
But then. What does happen? There's, I'm trying to remember because like my next line is after like the fake movie record scratch thing. I wrote Gibby no shirt.
Yeah,
this is the first time that I'm witnessing Gibby, but I'm also witnessing
him
taking off his shirt, which I've heard that he's like in all episodes.
Yeah, it's his thing. Well, once he grows up, he doesn't take his shirt off anymore. And then they reference it at one point where this guy's like, "Come on, Gibby, take off your shirt." He's like, "I don't do that anymore."
Yep.
Anyway, so Sam tells the world on iCarly that Freddie's never kissed a girl.
Right.
And everyone makes fun of him.
Yeah, so now it was at this point where I'm kind of cluing in. Now, is the I haven't kissed a girl or I haven't kissed anyone a reference? Are they more or less just saying that they're virgins? Is that what it's supposed to just be implying at this point?
Yes.
Am I finally, like, because when I was watching it, I was like, oh, it's like they're like virgins. Oh, I get
Can I tell you, Kyle? That's exactly what this means. Like, and I'll use a source. The great Irvin Kershner, who directed, among other things, Never Say Never Again, the worst James Bond movie, and The Empire Strikes Back. When he made Empire Strikes Back, he did director's commentary for the DVD release. And on the DVD commentary, he talks about, and he's got this great voice. He's like, so when we make the movies, we put a lot of symbolism into the movies. And in this scene right now, Han, and he calls him Han, not Han. He goes, Han Solo is going to kiss the princess. Now, in many movies, this is not a big deal. But in Star Wars movies, a kiss is the equivalent to intercourse. So it is a very big deal. And then, when 3PO interrupts them, you can imagine how upset Han Solo is. And I'm like, this guy, man. In my head, because many times I've said Empire Strikes Back is the most romantic movie ever made, and that Shaun of the Dead is the most romantic movie since Empire Strikes Back. And I guess as a kid, I subconsciously understood that they were fucking in those scenes, kind of like they were banging, you know. Yeah. And it's all symbolic. And so in the show, it's exactly the same. Them talking about not having kissed anyone is a code word. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
No, but see, that's just it. Like, this is what we do. We read way adulterize the show, right?
I think the word is adulticate.
Adulticate? Adulterize. Uh-huh. So does that mean that Carly has therefore had sex with somebody under a tree?
I think that's what it means. I think Carly is the most self-actualized of the three. I think the other two identify... Their identity is based on how they relate to Carly. You know, neither of them has their own real stand-up personality. And so Carly seems to be more experienced in those things. And so, again, if we were to transpose this and they were 5 years older, then that's what it would be, flat out. Yeah. You know what I mean? It would be Carly's
like,
done it.
This was the Friends show.
Yeah, Carly's done it. The other two hasn't. Yeah. So, but then
when I'm kind of putting this all together, then it then gets me thinking... As we continue to watch the show and we find out that Sam actually had not, in fact, kissed anyone, it made me think, so her ideal situation is to have sex with a guy in a porta potty.
Well, she's probably...
Like, that's what she's imagining.
Kids usually repeat what they've heard, so she's probably taking from her mom's experience that she's overheard and just using that to sound believable. Because, again, the devil's in the details. The more detailed a lie is, the less likely someone is to doubt you.
Yeah. But like, out of all the things, a porta potty, the most disgusting place other than a truck stop bathroom.
If she had said, "Well, this one guy, we went to this hotel and he had all these candles and rose petals," no one would believe that. They'd be like,
"No, but she could have said, "Well, yeah, I kissed the guy underneath the bleachers at a football game or something like that."
Yeah, but she likes to lie.
I know, but what I'm getting at is that there was better options than fucking scuzzy porta potty.
Yeah, but this is something that other people are sure to believe, and that's what she wants. She just wants people to believe it.
And that's why I wrote, "No surprise, she meet up with somebody in a porta potty."
Yeah, see, you believed it.
But anyway,
Freddie's facing all kinds of backlash at school. Even the teachers are making fun of him. And then Carly...
But the teacher that comes out, at first I thought it was Bill Nye. I wrote, is that Bill Nye's brother? Because he's clearly got to be like the science teacher or something. Yeah. He's very, very nerdy. Yeah. Like.
But yeah, he throws Freddie right under the bus and screams out for the whole school to hear, Freddie Benson has never
had an ordeal.
So then when Sam goes to talk to Carly about it, Carly's really mad. Like,
yeah, she's pissed.
She's really upset. And so she says,
bowls of meatballs.
Yeah. She says, you gotta make this right. Cause Freddie has quit iCarly. He's missed rehearsals. He's not showing up.
Yeah.
Fix this.
Yeah.
So, when they do iCarly, Sam gets up in front of everyone, in front of 300,000 viewers or however many people who watch the damn show.
And at this point,
he goes, everyone's been making fun of Freddie because he never kissed a girl. Well, I bet a bunch of you never kissed anyone either. So, you know, it's easy to make fun of one person when they're in the spotlight, but a lot of people haven't kissed anyone. And then she reveals the secret that she's never kissed anyone either. So she goes, if you want to make fun of someone for not having kissed somebody, then you can make fun of me. So she kind of falls.
She'll kill them.
Yeah, because she's very dangerous. People are afraid of her. Yeah. So Carly is really impressed with her selflessness. And then at this point, they all think that she's lying, that she's telling a lie to the audience so that they will not make fun of Freddy. But when she goes to meet Freddy on the fire escape, what happens then, Kyle?
They kiss.
Ah, come on. You got to give me some foreplay, Kyle.
But like, okay, wait, hold on. I want to go back a second. Well, I'll go back a minute later.
Okay.
But yeah, no. So like, yeah, there's all the lead up because they're both talking about like, well, I just wish I could get it over with.
Yeah.
And Freddy's like, yeah, me too. And then they're like, well, I got an idea. And it's like, should we just kiss? And he's like, well, okay. And then she's like, yeah, she's like, well, you got to lean in. Meaning like, you got to stick it in.
Yeah, exactly, right? So what Kyle is so indelicately saying is that Carly tells Sam she has to apologize to Freddy. So she goes to find him. And he's sitting on the fire escape, all brooding and sad. And when they're there, he thanks her for what she did because he watched the show. And then that's when she says that it wasn't a lie, that it was truth. She'd never kiss anyone. And then, like Kyle said, they talk about it. And they talk about the frustration of never having done it when it seems like everyone else has. And how easy it would be to just do it so that it's no longer an issue. So there's no more – kind of like in the beginning that you watch Annie Hall with Woody Allen and Diane Keaton.
Never seen it.
Well, they go out on a date and he talks about right at the beginning of the date, he says – throughout the whole night, we're just going to be wondering of what's going to happen. Are we going to kiss at the end of the kiss goodnight? So why don't we just get it out of the way now, and that way there's no pressure. We can just have fun. They do the same thing in Good Will Hunting. So they kiss at the very beginning of the date so that it's not awkward, right?
Right.
So so she's like – Freddie, she is saying in very open hints – I wish I could just get it over with. She's not so bold as to say you and I should kiss. She's just dropping these huge hints. And then Freddie finally goes, well, I have an idea. And she goes, what is it? And then he's too afraid to say. He's like, no, I don't want to say. He's like, what is it? And she, at this point, you can tell, really, really wants him to say it because she knows what his idea is. You know, she's not dumb. She's just not going to be the first one to say it. Look how much I've overanalyzed this guy. I'm so embarrassed. So she knows what his idea is. So she's like, say it. And he goes, I think that we should kiss. And then they agree to do it. But she still makes him make the first move. She's like, well, come on, do it. Lean in. And they kiss. And Kyle, I got to tell you, their reaction. Because the thing is, at this point in time, they have both told themselves that they're doing it just to do it. But the reaction on their faces after it's over, Kyle, it's shock and surprise to the point of almost speechlessness. What just happened? Yeah, you can see Sam. Sam doesn't even know what to say. She just looks at him and says, good work, which is so perfunctory. And it's the kind of thing that if it were an adult situation.
Because what happens is that, like, if you notice, like, when they're kissing.
Yeah. Her eyes open wide.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Her eyes are open the whole time. And he's actually trying.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking what happens, though, is that because he's actually making an effort.
Yes.
And she's kind of not really into it.
Yep. Well, she's kind of.
She's just like, yeah, you know, nice try. Like, that was, yeah, whatever. And he's all like. Yeah, that was like he's kind of all. I think he's all happy with himself.
That
and she's
is
all
not
like,
at all how I read that, Kyle. That is not all.
How that's how you don't want it to be.
Watch it again because what happens is Freddie closes his eyes.
Yeah.
Sam closes her eyes.
She doesn't.
She does. They kiss, and when they kiss, her eyes flash open. So her eyes are closed. The moment they kiss, it's like she's shocked and surprised. Her eyes, bam, open. And she's like got this deer in the headlights look. And then when they're done kissing, she can't say anything. She's just like got her mind exploded, right? And that's why she doesn't even look at him, but she's going to acknowledge what happened. She goes, good work, she says to him. She's basically saying, you satisfied me. Well done. But she's surprised and doesn't want to admit it almost. And then
it's because it's Freddy.
Yeah, because it's Freddy. And she's trained herself to think that she hates him when it's so obvious to me, Kyle. It's so obvious from the very beginning, the way they bicker. It's all this unresolved, just sexual tension that comes from what is obviously a mutual attraction between the two of them. We talked about that one time when he says, your butt looks like a ham. But she says she's going to pay $1 million for a naked picture of Freddy to, quote unquote, embarrass him. Right. There's lots of stuff going on the surface that has been threaded since the very beginning. When she says to Freddy in the first episode, Carly is never going to love you or whatever. You can now look at it through a different prism when you're like, every time she makes fun of him for not being able to get Carly is for no other reason than maybe she's jealous that he doesn't feel that way about her. You know, why shouldn't he? You know, what's wrong with me? Maybe it's because I'm so dirty and always hungry, you know?
It's because she's homeless.
But do you see what I mean? Like, it colors the way you see everything you see up until this point. That's why, like I said, it's like a turning point episode, Kyle, because I'm going to give you a spoiler alarm, Kyle. They revisit this.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you're gonna dig it. So, anyways, that's how the episode ends.
Yeah, that's how it kind of ends. But I want to go back
to Spencer
for a little bit.
Because we missed
it. There was two things.
Yeah, go.
One was Gibby shows up to now train Spencer.
Yes, he does.
And he instantly takes his shirt off again. This poor kid. Never a shirt, ever. But then, like, I didn't quite catch everything that they were saying when they were, like, when Spencer tricks him and puts him back in the elevator.
Well, what happens is he takes Spencer's coffee and throws it into space. And he tells Charlie told me to come here and train you, that you wouldn't want to be trained, and that if you were being lazy, I should throw a drink in your face to prick you up. So then Spencer says, okay, I'm going to run to the park, exercise. Here, you take $10, take a cab to the park and meet me there. And he throws him to the elevator and kicks him out. And he's like, but Carly told me to train you. He's like, yeah, get the hell out of here, kid. And he just gives him the bum's rush.
And he takes his shirt off right away.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing I had here was after Sam confesses that she's never kissed anyone, Carly almost blatantly throws out a slut comment.
Yes, she does. What did she say, Kyle?
Because she says to him, that, like, well, but you seem so willing.
She goes, really? You never kissed anyone? You always seemed so willing. How dare you, Carly? How dare you?
Yep. I thought that was pretty good. I was like, wow. Really?
Adult writing.
She just called her own friend a slut.
I know. I was very impressed with this episode, Kyle. So, on a scale from 8 to 10, what would you give iKiss?
8 to 10. I was trying to think of something clever earlier to give it, like, because you know how I always try and find some roundabout way to give it a different rating than you want me to.
Son of a bitch. Would it kill you to just say 8th, Kyle? It's the.
I will give it one Kelly Cooper terrible movie.
One of these days, Kyle, I'm going to punch you in the face. All right, so there was our analysis of iKiss. You can tune back in a couple of weeks when we're going to watch I Make Sam Girlier, which is a great episode. And you might get some bonus episodes here and there. I think we're going to do a best of, like a clip show, like The Simpsons. Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, it's a good way to get new listeners to jump in. You know,
if we do a singing episode, too. Those are my least favorite.
You don't have to tell me twice, brother. I'll do a singing episode right now. So is there anything else you want to add before we go, Kyle?
See, right now, if this was going to be aired on whatever, I'd give it one falling down girl. I would just do the, and like fall over to the side. But no one will see this. No. Only you would see it. So it'd be good.
I saw you. It was terrible.
No, I got nothing.
All right. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Like I said, subscribe at on iTunes or www.ycarly.rocks. And you can follow us on Twitter at ycarlypod. Thanks again. Peace.
Boy.